Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I haven't had a guest on this show in a while, and I'm glad I have a brother from out of Kansas. Since I lived in Kansas, I'm gonna let him introduce himself.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brandon. From a smaller town in Kansas. Actually, originally from Wichita, Kansas, and I'm a little familiar with the Kansas City area. So, wife and I like to go up there every once in a while and just kind of take the kids and have some family time up there. So,
What ethnicity are you?
I'm a Gentile, Caucasian. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I've talked to my family about it. I mean, I've got family that comes from like Irish, Scottish, that area of the European countries, I think so.
Okay, the only reason why I ask because I know a sister out there that lives in Kansas City or near Kansas City. Her last name is McFadden too. So I wanted to see if that name traveled as far as other places. How was that life in Kansas? I know it changed. I think the last time I was there, like 2003 to 2008 or nine. But how has it changed since then?
Well, I mean, I left Wichita in probably about early 2017. And I've been out in this direction since, but growing up there, it's definitely not what it was or, what it is today. I mean, my hometown, it seems like I hear about just all sorts of shootings and just mass casualties, it seems like, in my hometown anymore. I still have a bunch of family that lives there, but I really try to avoid going down there if I can help it.
I feel you. Where do you live at now?
Emporia. So
okay.
Little ways from Overland Park, but
how's that life?
It's really good. It's definitely a lot better than the bigger cities. Although the town I live in, it's still pretty crazy. It's got a lot of drama, that small town drama.
Right.
Just a lot of nonsense, it seems like.
Is the summer still the same? The summers and the winter still the same? It's extremely hot during the summer and is extremely cold during the winter. Is it still out there like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, this last winter was pretty mild, but this summer's just been brutal. I mean, over 100 degree weather. Just consistently, and I'm just I hate being hot. I like being cold.
So going into this journey, this walk, when did you feel like the Most High placed his hand on you and say, okay, I want you to follow this truth?
It was actually in November of 2024 was when he really started introducing me to him, introducing me as Yahuwah. Mm-hmm. I've listened to Brother Ron at Truth Unedited since like 2017. My stepdad actually pointed me to the pagan festivals that he had talked about, like Christmas, Easter. So it was probably about 2018. I stopped really kind of observing those. I mean, I still went to family gatherings, but it just wasn't the same. And I know in one of his videos, he mentioned, Brother Larry at Sight to the Blind, the podcast. And I was like, well, sounds pretty interesting. So, I checked that out and man, I'll be honest. It wasn't anything like I had ever heard before. It was just, it knocked me on my ass, I'll be honest. I was listening to a lot of the stuff you said at work and again, listening to Brother Ron. Mm-hmm. And I think it was close around that time he was getting into that We're Not Black People series. And it was funny because before I found your podcast, he was putting those videos out, and I was kind of iffy about it at first. I was like, well, this, it just didn't really seem like something I wanted to hear at the time. And then I started listening to your podcast, and I was like, shoot, I need to go back and listen to these. And so I watched all those. I mean, it was just like bam, bam, bam. I was listening to them, and it was just boom. It was just, I don't know, everything really started to click after that.
And did it matter to you the truth that you found out? Did it really, I don't know how I'm gonna say this. Did it really change your mentality or how you felt about the truth just because it was infused? Obviously, Ron was talking about black folks and we're not black, we of our
Yeah.
Israelites. Did that have a major impact on you, or you just took it as, okay, this is who the real people are. Okay, now where do I fit in all of this? How did you respond to that?
I you know, at first it to me it just like I said, at first it really just clicked. I can't really explain it. It seemed like everything just made sense. I mean, growing up, I remember hearing about Israel and the fake land over there, things in the news story, but just and what I was reading, and I don't know, it things just didn't really seem to mesh all that well. There just seemed really a lot of inconsistencies. But yeah, I mean, once when I re came to that realization of who the true people were, and because I some of my grandparents are really into that genealogy bit, so and then kind of taking a step back and kind of thinking more about where my family came from. It just, like I said, really just seemed to make sense where I fit in with everything. So it was very eye-opening. It was great.
To go back to your stepdad, obviously this is the first time I ever heard like a grown adult warn somebody off from doing these pagan feast days. What is your stepdad's background?
So he actually he met my mom in when I was still in high school, and they married like within a month of meeting each other. And but he's a Christian. He's in that the Assemblies of God denomination. He's always been very faith oriented. He reads the word, just very involved. And it was actually him. I still remember the conversation. I came to him and I was talking about global warming, the climate change, and he just looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And it was really from there he kind of pointed me towards Truth Unedited, the that early bit. He really helped me kind of question a lot of those narratives you kind of grow up with. So yeah, I grew up in the Christian church, and then when I in 2017, it was like the Assemblies of God is kind of what I started falling into. And then so 2017, I don't know, up until like 2020, that's where I was at. I like I said, I really wasn't big into it. Just it I don't know, I just really didn't feel connected to that Christian religion, if that makes sense.
But this is the first time I've ever heard of Christians not doing the pagan festivals that's attached to their
Yeah.
religion. So is Assemblies of God, they all believe on not doing
No.
these feast days?
No. It was just my stepdad who really introduced that to me at first. Now, currently, they're part of a church down in Texas, but they do, but they don't observe it, if that makes sense. I mean, they understand the pagan symbolism. They understand the history behind the different the pagan days, but they still kind of go along with it at the same time too. It's weird. It's really weird. So
So how did you come up out of that, knowing that that religion really didn't fit your ruach? How did you move on to what Yahuwah was showing you? I know you said by Truth Unedited and following this
yeah.
podcast, but you yourself, like, what in the word did you find to be like, okay, this is what he wants me to learn, and this is where I go from here.
So I mean a consistent prayer that I had for probably a couple years was discernment. Please give me discernment. And I really was consistently praying, teach me who you truly are. I mean, that I said those words consistently. And I think it came to a point, it came to a head where I wasn't finding what I needed and or what I wanted, I guess, in the Christian religion. And I was just beat down. I was depressed. And then I think, I don't know, Yahuwah was just like, all right, here you go. You know, it kind of went along with Brother Ronnie talked about like the Hallelujah scriptures. I actually bought one of those, or I got a free one actually. And then I started reading. I started from Genesis and I was reading with the Restored Names. And you know, I was also doing some like the studies with Brother Ron with like the name of Yahuwah, Yahusha. And I started getting into those extra books. Like I think the first one I read was the Book of Tobit, and I love Tobit. I just the amount of trust and faith that Tobit had in Yahuwah was just it just really hit me. And then I read Jasher, I read Jubilees. And I actually started deep diving into the calendar when you were talking about that. And I wanted to email you so many times, like, okay, is this right? Is this right? But I kept reading and I poured, I think, probably a week or two into it. I was reading those verses through Jasher and in Jubilees. And I was like, well, this makes sense. So I've actually fell on the calendar that, you know, you were talking about. So
I suppose I
came to
think
that
it's the best way to
realization.
do it is just read it yourself and then hope that it connects somehow. Don't just take my word for it, because I've seen the same scriptures that you've seen, and I was like, it makes sense for it to be set up this way and just move on with it and not try to change something that the Heavenly Father wanted us to observe, because he wants
Right.
to show us that his time is coming back, and he wants to show us that his power is speeding up time so the elect will be saved. Now, you are leading your household. Are you doing the feast days, the Shabbats, and all that? You are in control of that household. So how's that going?
So I am, so therefore, you know, when I first came into the truth, coming around into what is it, 2025, I really was trying to hammer hard into the feast days, and the Shabbats. I think I got more into the feast days, than anything. And I was met with a lot of pushback. I mean, because, my wife, well, I call her my wife. I mean, we've been together for 6.5 years. Her and her family, they're all Catholic. Not really necessarily practicing Catholic, but so I was met with some pushback. I mean, and it's been challenging. It's really been challenging. We just did the Pesach Wednesday, and you know, it was great. You know, I sat us all down. We read the Last Supper scripture. We read an Exodus with the children of Yashrael keeping the Pesach, and had everybody sitting at the table. They listened as I read. You know, we ate matzah. I even have my children. This is now the second year I've had all my children. They help me make matzah now every year. So I mean, there's definitely room for improvement, obviously. I haven't always been the best role model before coming into the truth. So learning how to be a man, a father, and a husband, it's kind of a lot all in one.
So how what did you struggle with while you were in the world before you had that relationship?
Lust, pornography, that was my vice. You know, I used it as a crutch, you know, anytime getting into an argument or just things not going right, too much stress, that's what I fell into. And early on in the relationship with my wife now, you know, I did step out on her, was talking to other women and trying to be with other women, and ended up putting some, putting a monitoring thing on my phone, and I've had that for several years now, and it's helped a lot, keep me accountable. And then actually I was married before that, my wife before that. She and I had a kid together, and our kid, she was born stillbirth for full term, and I started getting into drinking pretty heavy too, so I really don't drink anymore now either, so.
How did you handle that? Like, I mean, we all talk about lust. I know you've heard, I had guests on the show talk about lust. What are some of the ways that you conquered that? Because it's not an easy thing to conquer. It's not like you just shut the phone off, you shut your computer
Right.
off. It's always going to be in your face. And even more so now, if you watch music videos or just literally watching YouTube, you can see ass coming from the, come across the
Yeah.
screen. So how did you deal with that?
I mean, I'm still dealing with it, honestly. I mean, I had emailed you probably about a month ago saying I was felt like I was backsliding and, falling into old habits. I didn't, even being in the truth, you feel like you're backsliding. I mean, so I'm still working through that. I've done fasting, although that's challenging for me just because I can never seem to get to the full 24 hours. Man, I don't know what it is. I think the most I've got to is like 22 hours, unfortunately. So it'll get better, I'm sure. So try the fasting. I notice the urges are stronger if I'm out of the word. Like if I'm not consistently in the word, another vice is like video games. If I'm giving that time to video games, man, that's an easy door I get into too, where it just kind of follows through. Video games, then pornography. So, just staying in the word. I really don't get on social media a whole lot unless it's like news stories, but that's really about it. So I am working through it, and definitely think, praise Yahuwah, things have gotten a lot better. So, and actually also just realizing some consequences, I think, from my actions of putting my attention towards pornography and not giving that attention to my family or my wife, things in my house start slipping, and I'm feeling kind of dealing with the tail end of some of that too. So
So you feel the repercussions of, or you understand the reaping what you sow when it comes
yes.
to uncleanness or unrighteousness, and you feel that, and you feel like you are now even more so control of where the house is moving based on your actions. Does
Yes.
he point you to any scriptures that say, okay, this is what I need to do, and this is what I need to learn, and I'm gonna go from here? Have you had one of these moments?
I did actually hear recently within the last couple of weeks, I read a verse that I had highlighted before, but because of everything, feeling those repercussions heavier now, it makes a lot more sense. Let Yahuwah be your fear. That really hit me. I was, just fear Yahuwah. I mean, he has the power of life and death, and he can take things away from you as quick as he can give them to you. So that's really been on the forefront of my mind recently, is just let Yahuwah be your fear.
Why do you think most guys suffer from lust? I mean, I'm trying to be, like, really find the foundation of why men go to lust faster than some even go to drinking. Some don't even go to drinking or drugs. They go to right to porn. Why do you
Right.
believe that? Why do you think that's the first avenue men deal with when they are stressed or suffering through anxiety?
I think we kind of learn it from a male figure as we're growing up, because I can remember s several instances with my father and my mom's second husband. I can remember several instances of things I was introduced to growing up that really influenced that into my later years. And then I don't know. I mean, like for me, it started becoming an issue like in high school. So, I mean, and if you don't, I feel like for me, I didn't have a good male role model. So you really don't have a good outlet for learning how to deal with stress or tough emotions as a man, learning where to put that energy growing up. So I think it just kind of festers, and it just, with being a generational curse, it just kind of feeds into itself, if that makes sense. That's just from my point of view.
Now that's a beautiful explanation. What would you say was your down bad moment? Like you knew you had a problem with it. Like it was it one day or where you spent insane amounts of time just watching it? Like could you recall like at one day where you're like, yeah, I gotta stop.
Not really. There'd be days, it seemed like if I wasn't doing anything, I could just sit there and just go into it, and without any issues, I guess. I mean, really, I've recognized it's been an issue, I think, since my wife that I'm current that I'm with now, seeing her reactions and remembering just about losing her and losing my family about being broken up at that time, I think really was like, damn, dude, you gotta quit. I mean, th like this you can't do this anymore. So
How did your wife handle all this? Like, was she patient? Did she give you grace? Showed you mercy? How did you guys work through this problem together?
obviously at first she was very upset. She felt betrayed, she felt hurt. And it took a long time for me to work through that, try and I say do things that she needed in order to trust me, but I kind of realize now it was also for me to help. Like I said, that monitoring thing really has helped me just keep me accountable, kind of hold me to that standard, and just communicating with her about it. And instead of giving that time and energy to that vice, really trying to flip it around and give that time and energy to my wife, which has helped a lot too.
Okay. Would you say that you are a lead by word or lead by example type of guy?
I definitely think I'm a lead by example. I mean, that's how I was raised from my mom's second husband. I mean, he really instilled that perfectionist mentality, the, your actions really don't mean anything if your or your words don't mean anything if your actions don't back it up. So I go to that lead by example first. And that's what I'm working right now, trying to lead by doing these feast days and doing these Shabbats, reading the word if I have a spare moment at home, because I'll be sitting at home sometimes and I'll have the word, I'll be reading, and my 5-year-old, she'll come up to me like, Daddy, what are you reading? And we'll just sit down, I'll try to explain as best I can to a 5-year-old what I'm reading. So
What would be your stumbling block in your marriage or in your relationship now, or you feel is a stumbling block?
the fact that maybe sometimes if I try to explain things, it seems to kind of go in one ear and out the other. I don't know. Like, I know there were a few times where I would do, or I started doing offerings in my backyard, and my wife would, I don't know if mocking is the right word, but it was out of ignorance, obviously. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know any better. But that really irks me, I guess, wanting them to understand maybe sooner than what Yahuwah has planned. It's like, come on, dude, just wake up already. That's a struggle for me.
How do we handle that as men? How do you handle that? Like you know, obviously you love them so much and you want them to be on the same accord, the same plane of existence spiritually. How do you get through that? Do you pray? Do you continue, like you said, lead by example? How do you How do you go through this life knowing that it's staggered just for a little bit?
Something my stepdad pointed out to me. I try to talk to him every once in a while about this stuff too. And but I tell him, I'm frustrated, I'm trying to do this, and they just, aren't quite getting it. And him and my mom both have pointed out to me, well, it took me a long time to come out of the lies. I mean, it took a long time. I mean, it's not an easy process. So it really is, I think, just being patient and speaking small truths, really paying attention, because there are moments when they do seem interested. They do ask questions. And when those opportunities present themselves, man, I jump on it. I'm like, hey, here we go. But I think over time, I don't know. I think it's just the small truths repetitively, and hopefully, prayerfully, they one of these days it'll sink in. It'll just click. I don't know.
And that's that, bro. That's literally that's it. That's the whole entire doctrine. Small truths and take advantage of the opportunity when it presents itself. A lot of people don't want to be talked at. They want to be talked with. So that is an excellent point. Not just in your relationship, but obviously when we were relatives that just don't know the truth or turn their ears off of it because they're in Catholicism or they're in Christianity or whatever religion that they're in. You have to defeat their ignorance with small truths and strike when the iron is hot. That is the only way. If you force it, you'll repel them into a hole and they'll never come out. So is your wife the only one that's not really accepting to the truth? Like, how about your mom or your mother-in-law? Like, how do you deal with that also?
So right now it's just I try to work on my wife and then our 15-year-old daughter. I try to work on them as best I can. And then my mom, I know I think when I first came into it, I was just vomiting all this truth. I was like, man, guess what I guess about, listen to this, listen to this. Did you know this? And then my stepdad, I really haven't talked to him a whole lot about that yet, just because, man, I don't know. It's a little intimidating with him because he's very knowledgeable about the word, but from a Christian perspective, if that makes sense. And then, yeah, I mean, my grandpa, he, I don't know. It's not time for me to, I think, really talk to him about some of the stuff yet. I haven't really felt a pull for that yet. And then, like my dad, my stepmom, we don't talk to them. So, yeah.
Has any of the social issues that we see in the world today make it inside your house? Like, has your wife came to you like, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Maybe even to try what you believe based on your faith, or she just want to see where you at with it. Has she done that so yet?
Every once in a while she does. I'm pretty vocal with her about, if something comes up, I'm like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. No, they're, this is just a psyop, or, they want you to look at this aspect of it, or so I'm pretty vocal about that when she brings those to my attention. Like I think she did recently ask me about the whole Lindsey Clancy thing, or she started to bring it up. And I honestly wasn't paying attention too much to it at first. And I really didn't have too much to say about it. I was like, well, I was like, I told her, I was like, there's more to it than what they're letting on. I was like, there's just no, there's just inconsistencies with it, I guess, and I told her, I was like, just be careful what you're reading, and don't give all your attention to it. Just kind of wait and see what happens, what more they present. And yeah, so kind of along with that, I guess.
What was your opinion on that, like that whole case?
It just didn't make sense to me, I guess, that I don't know. She's claiming insanity over killing your children. For me, that just, I mean, you have to know what you're doing. There's just no way. To me, logically, I guess, there's just no way that you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
I mean, I witnessed my wife going through the postpartum, and she had to be on a couple of different medications, but she never got to that point. I mean, she had her rough moments, but I mean, she never got to that point, and it just, I don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me. I think it's all, I think it's all crap, honestly. Like, I know you had talked about breaking up the white family structure, and when you said that, I kind of went back through and read it. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I can definitely see that. So
And what if your wife ever said, "Yeah, I agree with her"? Would you take that as a warning? Did you go pray? Would you talk to her and say, "Look, nah, we're not doing that"? How would you handle that situation if it was your wife?
I mean, I would definitely tell her, no, we're not doing that. Like, no, if you, I mean, I did mention to her, like, if you, like with her postpartum, I did ask her, I was like, are you feeling okay? If things get to be too much, I'll take time off work. I'll take you to go see whoever you need to see to work through whatever it is. But it's like, no, we're not doing that. And then definitely praying about it as well. I mean, like, our war is not against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities of darkness. So I would pray heavily on that as well. So,
Why do you think women today react so strongly now over this case or over anything right now, as in posting very their traumatic stories or posting how they feel about their children, even when no one's asked, no one's forcing them to? It's just something they get up and just do because they saw one case and know this woman's story just for a week and then decided this is what they're going to be. Why do you think the human mind now is attached to the drama they see on television screens?
I think the biggest thing that I can see from my household is I think that maybe they want to feel heard, they want to feel seen, especially if they don't feel like they're getting that validation at home. I really think that they're quick to attach on to anything that has a big emotional response. And they'll just kind of run with it without really thinking about it first. Because I, kind of like what I mentioned a little bit, I have to tell my wife, well, just wait, let's think about it a little bit more before, we get to that point, I guess, if you will. I don't know, just feeling listen, needing to feel listened to, I guess, and just needing to feel that validation or needing to feel important, I guess. I honestly don't know.
I
It
got
blows my mind too.
you. Now, you spoke about validation, and obviously you're not being raised by your father, but a stepfather. Did you feel that sense of needing validation because you didn't have really a good role model in the beginning of your years?
I don't know. Probably, I don't know so much maybe validation, but more someone to guide me, I suppose. Because I think the guidance that I did have was very harsh and very direct, which is great at times. I mean, we as men definitely need that. I think more of like the spiritual guidance, like, I started getting from my early adult years from my stepdad. I think I definitely would have liked a lot more. I think it could have eliminated a lot of issues in my earlier years, but it is what it is, I
Right.
guess.
Do you feel that you need validation from the Most High? I mean, I know you say you didn't need it with your earthly parents, but do you feel that validation with the Most High to know to prove you that you are on the right track?
I think yeah, it's important. I absolutely feel like it's important for me. I would rather have that validation from Yahuwah than anybody here. And you know, there, I mean, there's times, I think you spoke about it before also, that you know, we still do what we're told to do, the feast days, the Shabbats, everything in between, even if we maybe don't feel the Ruach HaKodesh on us, or if we don't, you know, feel that, I don't know, desire, I guess you could say, or just, I don't know, you may not feel his presence, but you still do it anyways. But I don't know. I think, yeah, I seek through that validation, but I think I find the validation in his word. Like I said, sometimes those verses will just jump out like that, you know, make Yahuwah your fear. That like that was like boom, you know, there's your answer.
Now, I'm assuming that you have guy friends that are married, right?
Very, I mean, I have like one maybe. But
Dang.
I don't know. I really don't have a whole lot of guy friends, honestly. And the one or two that I do have, they're not in the truth. So
Okay. How
yeah.
are they how are they during this whole transition into this beast system? Are they seeing it, or do they not care, or do you feel like they're so wrapped up in the world that it's truly blinding them what's going to happen?
I think they're just completely blinded. They don't see it coming at all. I mean, I think they're going to be completely blindsided. You know, so yeah, I mean, like I said, I wish I could speak more onto that. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of guy friends. I'm perfectly fine keeping to myself a lot of the time. So, but like with my brothers, I've got two younger brothers. I mean, they're definitely wrapped up in the world, and I've tried speaking this truth to them on multiple occasions, and they just one ear out the other, and they just keep on trucking.
Do
So
they say why? Do they not believe you because they know your past life? Or, like what it is, usually that's probably what it is. When you try to explain the truth to your relatives or your parents, they always look at, well, I remember when you used to do this, so how all of a sudden now you know all this truth?
right. Well, I mean, one of my brothers, you know, he's like, oh, that makes sense. You know, that, yeah, sure. I could see that. But he still continues right on with what he's doing. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? I don't know what you're doing. And then my youngest brother, I just don't think he cares, honestly. He does his own thing. He just keeps on going. And you know, he's in the military too, so he's more about that life than anything else, unfortunately.
And you got 2 kids?
So my wife had a 15 had a girl before she met me, so she's our 15-year-old daughter, and then we have two together, a 5 and a 2-year-old.
And they're all girls?
No, two girls and one boy. My son's the youngest.
Okay, how are you dealing with having the boy? And obviously, he has to be prepared to run his own household one day. So, how is that raising him in the truth different from raising a girl in the truth?
Honestly, it's daunting, but I think I'm more excited than anything because, you know, I know who Yahuwah is. I know where I fit in with it. You know, so by the time he gets old enough to understand, I pray that I'm doing these feast days really well. I pray that I'm doing the Shabbats, you know, really well, so I can easily just transition him into doing these as well. I mean, I think I have more of that excitement of raising a man of Yahuwah, you know, honestly, I think more than my daughter. But you know.
Is it
Yeah.
tough? Is it tough raising a daughter? Obviously, you have a 15-year-old that's going to be approaching 16 real soon, and that's a whole new other thing to deal with. How is
Yes.
it raising her, being not of your seed, raising her in the truth also? Is she, open to it, or did the mother just takes care of her and then that's it?
So I've really put my foot down a lot with, you know, keeping my daughter modest when she goes out. At first I had some pushback with that, but it's gotten a lot better with that. So I'm very thankful for that. You know, I try to, I really try to work with her on, what she listens to, what she watches. But I do still try to include her with the offerings and the feast days, and she'll ask questions every once in a while, and I'll discuss with her these are why we do these things and what they represent. So again, it's she is going to be coming up on 16, so I'm just hoping that as she gets older, I still have more of those opportunities to speak that truth into her.
There was a verse. I'm gonna see if I can pull it up. In Sirach 4:10, it says, "As a father unto the fatherless, and instead of a man unto their mother, so shall you be as the son of the Most High, and he shall love you more than your mother does." And that is obviously what you're living, being able to take care of somebody else's child and giving them the truth, and hopefully guide them or plant that seed where they can decide for themselves to fall into this truth because of you. I think that speaks volume to your ruach, and I think it speaks volume to your blessings and that hedge that you are building up for yourself. Do you look at what you are doing, knowing that you're trying to prepare your entire household for the kingdom?
What do you mean? Explain that again for me, if you could.
How, like, do you see yourself like this is what my true purpose is to lead this entire house to the kingdom and all things fade away and don't even matter?
I could honestly say yes. I think if I do nothing else in this world, I think if my children come to know Yahuwah and follow in his ways, I would be more than content with that purpose. I mean, with how I was raised and just, I don't know, just I consider, I truly thank Yahuwah every single day that, as a called out Gentile, that he, led me to this truth. And I really want to instill that in my children. I mean, honestly, I mean, I really don't chase jobs. I really don't, chase money aside from, paying bills and whatnot. So I think really it does come down to just teaching them as much as possible. So,
What do you do for work?
I work at a university, as a custodial supervisor, and then I also work at Walmart. So I've got two jobs right now.
Nice. How is that being able to juggle, obviously the word and juggle two jobs?
My job at the university, it's great because, I can listen to Brother Ron's videos. I take my physical Bible to work. I've got the Sefer app, so every down moment I can, I'm reading the word, or I'm listening to Brother Ron, or I'm listening to your podcast when they come up. So that's been very fortunate that I'm able to do that. It does get challenging at times too, especially with like the feast days and the Shabbats. I get really frustrated, if it's a Shabbat or a feast day and I've got to go to work, and I pray for forgiveness, like, Yahuwah, I'm sorry. I try to do the best I can.
And where do you see yourself in the future with this walk? How far do you feel that you're able to go? Like, some people are just limited and they just go, I'm just doing the feast days and that's all I can do. Where do you see yourself really going spiritually into this walk? Do you see yourself teaching others? Do you see yourself healing? Do you see yourself finding out what your spiritual gifts are?
I honestly don't know yet. Like I said, I think first and foremost, it's just I really want to be able to teach this to my kids. I mean, I like when I was younger in Christianity, I thought being a preacher would be great, but now it's like there's a it's like I that's a there's a lot of responsibility with that. So it's like, man, I don't know if I could do that, but I mean, if an opportunity came up, and someone was asking questions, I mean, I would, speak the truth, the best to my ability with what I've been given. So, I mean, my wife and I, and we've taken our kids to do this too. We would, give alms to the poor, and I don't know. I'd never done that before, but I seem to really enjoy doing that. So I don't know. Maybe something along those lines. Who knows?
How old are you now?
31.
Okay. What do you think or believe that is the 31-year-old man's issue in dealing with this world?
Like
Or
with
what the reason why
vice.
they can't or reason why they can't find the Most High or find that path of truth? What do you think they suffer through?
Honestly, I mean, I look around, I think it's really just chasing that success or chasing the next high. I think anything that the world gives you that's entertainment, I think that's a big thing that holds people back, whether it's sports. I mean, with all these kids that are my age or younger, they're heavily into sports, heavily into like the video games or just, the partying. Really, just a lot of things that, I don't know, to us doesn't matter, So I think it's just kind of that chasing that next high. What can I do next? What's going to bring me pleasure next, I guess, or I don't know.
And as far as what you think about the state of women in this country, where do you think their minds are and why they can't see the truth for what it is?
Man, I think it's definitely trying to be successful on their own terms. I feel like I see that a lot with in my wife's family, trying to make it on their own or just trying to be strong enough to do things on their own. I really remember that whole, the men ain't shit kind of thing, from a few years ago. I don't know. I think that's carried over a lot, into the present day. I still really feel that, in women today,
I feel
that they don't need a man, they can do it all themselves kind of thing.
I think now most of it is because they can't get a man. I think a lot they just say that like men ain't shit. I think a lot of it has to do with they can no longer get a man because now men are isolating themselves. Now men are about their car, about their
Yeah,
job, about the gym, and
right.
about their own apartment. It's not, let me go out and share. And I think I've been watching a couple of documentaries on lions, and the one thing I've understood about male lions that even if you get kicked out of your kingdom, or even if you're born alone and you become parentless or motherless, it is in you to seek out your own kingdom, to have the lionesses, to have children, to carry on that generation and that inheritance. And I
Right.
think we must be the only male species that really shies away from those challenges of being a man and having your own kingdom. Did you always want to be married? Did you knew like regardless of what you were doing and how wicked you were, was it in you like, okay, I know that I want to have my own household. I want to have my wife and I want to have children.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got married, my first marriage, I got married young. I was 19, and I mean, I just, yeah, I always kind of had that in my head. I wanted to have a wife and family of my own, especially after, my younger years being raised the way I was. So I really wanted to have kids and kind of correct those mistakes, I guess, or I don't know, do things better, show my dad up. I don't know. So,
I got you. All right, we are almost at the end of the show. Give us your words of wisdom of anyone that's in your situation. You have a very unique and beautiful situation. Obviously, coming from one marriage to another, where maybe the first one you didn't do it as good. This one you still learning and doing it correctly. And of course, then bringing in a child from outside the marriage that your wife already had coming in. It's a very unique situation. You have a ton of experience and I guess words of wisdom of anybody that could be in your situation, maybe shying away from that situation because it could obviously make you into a better man. What would you say? to that brother out there?
First and foremost, I'd say let Yahuwah be your fear. If you have that righteous fear of Yahuwah, I mean, nothing else matters. And on top of that, let Yahuwah be your strength. Just those two things right now, I think, are giving me the patience and the endurance to come against some of these challenges in my household. And hopefully we'll just keep carrying me through and just be faithful. Don't play with the most high. I mean, he can take your blessings away as quick as he can give them. And as you say all the time, Brother Larry, that what you reap is coming quick on what you sow. I mean, it's almost immediately anymore. So I mean, don't play with the most high. I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, if you're married and you had children, it's not worth it. I mean, your family, and if you have a family and you're in this truth now, I mean, it's not worth losing them over it, and it's not worth starting over with Yahuwah, or even being like Manasseh and trying to come back to him and not being able to.
Dang.
So
That's real. That is
yeah.
real. Thank you. I knew you were gonna be starting dropping knowledge at the end. See, bro,
Okay, all
you
right.
working yourself up to a podcast, talking about your life and all that, man. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on, my brother. I definitely will continue speaking with you as we grow in this truth and seeing how your journey is. Obviously, when your son's a little bit older and you start showing how to do all sending smoke offerings in the feast days
Yes.
and blowing of the shofar and all that. I can't
Oh,
wait for that
yes.
moment when you actually teach him to blow the shofar. That'd be a cool moment.
Yes, I'm excited. And thank you so much, Brother Larry, for having me on. It's a huge blessing, and it's an absolute honor. So thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
Yes, have a good one.